Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining Practical Nutrition for People with MS. Your host for today is Fiza Mahmood. Ms. Mahmood, you may begin.
Hi, thank you, Matthew. Good evening, everyone. My name is Fiza, and I'm from the Gateway Area Chapter of the National MS Society. On behalf of the Society, I would like to welcome you to tonight's program titled Practical Nutrition for People with MS. This program is brought to you through a collaboration of the National MS Society's Midwest Region Chapters. Together, we provide programs, services, and research to improve the lives of people affected by MS. Recordings of this call will be available through each chapter for anyone wishing to refresh their notes or share with a friend. We'd also like to mention there's a wealth of opportunity made available by the Society through your local chapters for all levels of participation. We encourage you to reach out to your local chapter by calling 1-800-344-4867 or by visiting their website for a list of upcoming events and programs. Please note that during the first part of the program, during our speaker's presentation, you will be in listen mode. Feel free to jot down your comments and questions as you listen. Following the presentation, the operator will open the lines for anyone to ask their questions. We ask all participants with questions to limit their time to one question per request so that as many participants as possible may enjoy a direct response from Dr. Khatri. We are fortunate tonight to have as our speaker Dr. Bhupendra Khatri. Dr. Khatri is the founding medical director of one of the largest multiple sclerosis centers in the USA, caring for over 4,000 patients. Dr. Khatri earned his medical degree from Grant Medical College in Mumbai, India, completed his residency in neurology at the Medical College of Wisconsin, where he continued as an associate professor of neurology until 1990, at which time he opened the Center for Neurological Disorders in Milwaukee. He is a pioneer in the field of therapeutic plasmapheresis, and his research contributions and participation in clinical trials led to an effective plasmapheresis protocol therapy for Guillain-Barré syndrome, acute and progressive form of MS, neuromyelitis optica, and removal of Tysabri from body in the event of PML. Dr. Khatri is a principal investigator in numerous clinical trials, as well as an invited speaker at both national and international conferences. As an author slash co-author, his work has been published in books, abstracts, and medical journals. He has published over 65 papers in peer-reviewed journals and contributed chapters to 6 books. Dr. Khatri has another extremely rich part of his life, which is the creative soul in him. He has just finished authoring a book, which is released in October 2014. The title of the book is Healing the Soul, Unexpected Stories of Courage, Hope, and the Power of Mind. This book is a moving and revealing testament to the power of the human mind and spirit in the face of life's most difficult challenges brought on by multiple sclerosis. Within its pages are stories of courage, inexplicable medical miracles, and disappointing transactions with intractable insurance companies, ill-informed legislators, and new physicians guided more by technology than traditional medical practices. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce our speaker, Dr. Khatri.
Thank you so much, Fiza, and I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to be here this evening. And good evening, all the listeners, and I want to thank each and every one of you for finding time to be here with me today. You know, in 1826, a very well-renowned French physician stated, "Tell me what you eat, and I will tell you what you are." This is a very important statement that he made 188 years ago. We now estimate that about 90% of the diseases known to man are caused by unhealthy food that we eat and also unhealthy dietary habits. So it is very true that you are what you eat. And today we're going to focus on the diet in MS, the practical nutrition for people with MS. Now, right off the bat, I need to tell you this. No single diet can treat or cure MS. This is very important. You need to stay with your medications, your preventive therapies, what the doctors prescribe you. But at the same time, it's very important to focus on your diet, to focus on what you're eating, because all of this will make a difference. Eating healthy, nutritious food is an important part of feeling well and managing symptoms of MS. And we know MS, we believe this is an autoimmune disease. It was described by Professor Charcot almost 147 years ago, but we still don't know what causes it. But we do know that in MS, we believe there's abnormal immune dysfunction. There's abnormal antibodies that are secreted, which attack the brain, the spinal cord, and the optic nerves. And as you know, brain and the spinal cord and the optic nerves control all of your bodily functions. So you can get various kinds of symptoms, bowel problems, bladder, weakness, balance. So with the diet, you can make a difference. And we'll talk a little bit about that as to how that is so. But we do know that when you have MS, you are at a higher risk. For example, you know, patients who do not or not able to exercise, patients who take a lot of steroid therapies, they can have bone loss, they can have osteoporosis. MS patients are prone to have bladder problems. So there are a lot of issues which we can control with the diet, and we'll talk a little bit about this. But of course, before you change your diet or start taking any supplements, make sure that you talk to your doctor or a registered dietitian. So the incidence of MS in this country is 1 in 750. We diagnose 200 new MS patients every week in this country. And somewhere around the world, there is one new patient that gets diagnosed with MS every hour. So if the incidence of MS is 1 in 750 in this country, we also know that if a parent or a sibling has MS, then the incidence goes up to 1 in 40. There is a genetic predisposition here. We also know that vitamin D is preventive, and that's why the first thing that I want to talk about today is the importance of vitamin D. Not only is it important to give it to the siblings and children of MS patients because it can be preventive, but also for the MS patients. It has been shown that high levels of vitamin D in the blood may lower the risk of MS. And it could be a natural inhibitor of MS. We also know that low levels of vitamin D in childhood may result in defective myelin or breakdown of the myelin. We also know that vitamin D plays a very important role in the immune function. And as we know, immune system plays a very important role in multiple sclerosis. For example, vitamin D will favor some of the lymphocytes or the white cells or some of the T cells, which favor and promote healing. So it's very, very important to include vitamin D in your diet. Now, it is also important to note that vitamin D is actually not a vitamin, it's a hormone. And so how do you get vitamin D? Well, most of the time, your skin makes vitamin D when you're exposed to sunlight. But in some of the states, like, for example, in Wisconsin or the upper Midwest, we do not get exposed to sunlight that much. Or even if we do, the kind of sun rays or ultraviolet rays that can help you make vitamin D is not enough. So you have to take supplements. Some of the foods that have vitamin D, it's like fish, cod liver oil, egg yolks, beef, liver, and cheese. So some of the fortified foods with vitamin D. But the important thing is to take vitamin D supplements, tablets, or drops over the counters. And then, of course, the important question is how much? How much vitamin D should you take? Well, the good answer is that you need to keep your blood level at a certain level, and we can measure vitamin D in your blood. We want to keep the level at about 70 or 80. And your doctor will tell you, it's a simple blood test that you can have done. And based on the results of what your blood level is for vitamin D, your physician can advise you how much vitamin D to take. And it could be somewhere 50,000 units once a week to maybe only 2,000 or 4,000 units daily. But your doctor would be able to tell you how much vitamin D you should take. Now, the other thing is, vitamin D is fat soluble. So if you take too much, yes, it can cause problems. But it takes a lot of vitamin D intake to cause problems. But the important thing is to have your blood tested on a regular basis so that you know that your level is at about 70 or 80. Before I move on to another topic about the diet in MS, I want to very briefly tell you about a study that was done and presented at the ECTRIMS last year. ECTRIMS is a very large international MS meeting. There was a study that was presented where the research workers looked at the blood of all the MS patients who had participated in a trial called the BENEFIT trial. This was a trial that was a double-blind study. Some patients got the beta serum, some patients got the placebo. It was a two-year study that was done, and they had blood that was collected from both the groups. And what the research workers did, they looked at the vitamin D levels in all of those patients who participated in the trial, and they came up with some very remarkable findings. Those patients whose blood level of vitamin D was greater than 50 were associated with fewer relapses. That was significant. Fewer active MRI lesions, which was highly statistically significant, and lower T2 lesions. Now, all of this, what that means is that the not only were the relapses significantly lowered in patients whose blood level was greater than 50 compared to those who were lower than 50, but the MRI showed a striking results. And the brain loss, the shrinkage of the brain, was also very, very low, statistically low, compared to those patients where the levels were less than 50. So it is very important. Now, at the very onset, I had indicated that there is a genetic component to getting MS. So how much should your children, how much should your siblings take vitamin D? If they're adults, I would safely say 4,000 units daily until they get the blood tested. And the children, consult the pediatrician, and they can also advise based on the blood level as to what is the safe level to take. So, you know, different diets have been implicated in MS. Not a day goes by when my patients ask me about a particular diet as to whether they should try it or if they should try part of it or completely. What I tell them is that, you know, you need to take a healthy diet. None of the diets that have been advocated for MS have been tested in a double-blind fashion, although there is some scientific rationale for using particular diet in MS patients. For example, diet low in saturated fats like omega-3s, which you can get from cod liver oil or flaxseed oil, or omega-6. These are the fatty acids that you get from sunflower oil or primrose oil, would definitely benefit. And what we have seen in laboratory is that omega-3 and omega-6 will have a favorable influence on the some of the immune cells. You know, they're basically two immune cells that we focus on. One is the good ones and the other ones are the bad ones. The bad ones, they promote inflammation, which we call the Th1 cells. And the good ones are the Th2 cells, which promote healing. They are anti-inflammatory. So when you take omega-3 and omega-6, like flaxseed oil or fish oil, you're increasing the Th2 cells, which are the healing cells, which promote healing. So it's very important that you take low unsaturated fatty acids. Now, about 60 years ago, Professor Swank, and I think most of you must have heard of the Swank's diet. He did extensive work, and he advocated that taking unsaturated fatty acids such as omega-3 and omega-6 will have a beneficial effect on the progression of the MS. And he had done some studies, he had published some work related to that. And this was based on his observation that areas where they consume a lot of saturated fat, the incidence of MS was very high compared to the areas where they consume poorly unsaturated fatty acids or low fats like fish consumption or omega-3. And that led to further studies, and he determined that using poorly unsaturated fatty acids in your diet, such as the flaxseed oil or the fish oil, will have a beneficial effect. And we all know that our fat intake has increased dramatically over the years. For example, in 1900s, an American consumed about 125 grams of fat a day, and now it's over 150 grams a day. Our calories has jumped. 40% of our caloric intake is from fat, whereas more than a century ago, it was only 15%. So I think we need to watch our diet, and we need to limit the food intake. One of the things that we should focus on is eating low-fat diets, such as low-fat milk, low-fat cheese, yogurt. So any dairy products that you take, maybe you want to make sure that you're not taking the saturated fats with that. Now, I get very commonly asked, what about the artificial sweeteners, like aspartame? Should that be avoided? Because as you know, some of the diet drinks, they all have this product in them. And my answer is that, you know, aspartame does not cause MS. But we do know that aspartame is not good for you. It can be toxic to your brain. It can compromise the immune system. It can also mimic symptoms of MS. And so I usually tell my patients to avoid taking aspartame. You know, use more natural fruit juices, natural fruit sweeteners instead of the aspartame. And the other thing is aspartame can irritate the bladder as well. And so avoid taking that. The other question that I often get asked is, oh, should they go on a gluten-free diet? Well, there was a study that was published in a neurology journal which looked at the gluten sensitivity in MS patients and their relatives, and they found that there was increased incidence. And when they avoided gluten in their diet, they felt better. But it doesn't mean that every MS patient should go on a gluten-free diet. It's only if you are sensitive to gluten that you should go on a gluten-free diet. Otherwise, I think you can enjoy your gluten if you're not sensitive to it. The other diet that has been talked about in the recent years is called the Walls diet. Now, as you know, that Dr. Terry Walls, who herself has got MS, tells a very inspiring story of how she reversed her multiple sclerosis by switching to a paleo-style diet. And this diet is kind of focused on fresh, raw foods, which are high in specific nutrients, which promote the myelin growth, as well as healthy for the mitochondria. Mitochondria are the powerhouses of the cells. They provide the energy. So what Dr. Terry Wall did was she did quite a bit of work on it, and she discovered three nutrients which are essential for the proper functioning of the mitochondria. And she indicates that you should take animal-based omega-3 fatty acids, which we just talked about, creatine, which you can get that over-the-counter, and the coenzyme Q10. And this is important for the mitochondrial functioning, because mitochondria is the one that that gives you energy. So she focuses on eating foods that are rich in nutrients that promote mitochondria, promote myelin healing. And these are usually fresh, raw foods and nuts. It's what we used to call the gatherer's diet in the very, very old days. No processed foods. And I think it's important because, you know, majority of us in America are used to eating high amounts of processed foods, which are loaded with high fructose, corn syrup. They have chemicals that are additives, and there's MSG, artificial sweeteners, and all of these things causes chronic diseases. At the very onset, I said, you know, 90% of the diseases that we see can be linked to unhealthy diet. So if you change your diet, it makes a big, big difference. So I want to talk a little bit about water intake, because that's a very important part of the diet. The, you know, fatigue is very common in MS patients. In fact, it is one of the commonest disabling symptoms that MS patients have. And while fatigue can be caused by MS, what we have found is that dehydration is one of the commonest causes of fatigue. So I advise my patients to make sure that they drink enough water. Now, how much water should you take? One glass, two glasses, three glasses? Well, the rule of thumb is that for every 10 kilos of your body weight, you should drink one large glass of water, which is about 12 ounces. So if you weigh something like about 180 pounds, you should drink at least about 8 to 9 big glasses of water a day. Now, some of you would probably be chuckling now and saying, Dr. Kasri, if I drink that much of water, I will never come out of the bathroom. And that's true. The first week, you will be going to the bathroom a lot. But eventually, hydrating yourself, in fact, will improve your bladder health, and you will have a better control over your bladder. So it's important to take enough water. And the other thing is constipation is very common in MS patients. And one of the commonest causes of constipation is, again, dehydration. So make sure that you drink enough water during the daytime. And some of my patients said, well, you know, I drink one glass here, one glass there, and then I forget to drink. What I tell them is get an empty milk gallon. Fill it up with whatever amount of water you're supposed to take. If you don't like plain water, you can put some cranberry juice or a little bit of orange juice. And by the end of the day, make sure that that's all gone. So you know that you got your quota for the day. And you should avoid drinking too much water after the supper time or in the evenings because, as you know, you may then have to get up to go to the bathroom very frequently at nighttime. So get most of your hydration done early in the day. So that's very, very important. You know, the other thing is, and I want to share this with you, as I was driving to work this morning, I saw a billboard. And the billboard said, life is too short. Enjoy the ride. And it kind of hit me. Life is too short. Enjoy the ride. And I was thinking about this talk I'm going to give this evening. And I said, you know, I'm going to be talking about the diets in MS. Avoid this. Don't do this. Eat this. At the end of the day, you want to enjoy life. You want to enjoy the foods that you like. You want to enjoy ice cream someday. You want to enjoy a little bit of beer. You want to enjoy a little bit of wine. And that's fine. But my advice is that you need to do everything in moderation, which means you have to show some restraint. You have to avoid extremes. You have to avoid excesses. You have to exercise prudence, right? Moderation does not mean that you have to shun your ice cream. It doesn't mean that you cannot do this and only stick to celery sticks. A lot of my patients will say that, you know, I'm going on a diet. And there's some patients who strictly, very, very strictly follow the diet. And they're so stressed out. And stress is not good for MS patients. You don't have to be under stress and stick to a diet because on one hand, the diet may be helping you, but on the other hand, the stress may be playing a havoc on your immune system. So, you know, you got to enjoy and eat what is healthy, but if you feel like indulging in some other things, by all means. But, you know, take a little bit, a spoonful of ice cream here and there, or maybe a couple of spoonfuls, but don't go and take the whole big dish. You know, enjoy, but you savor it. And do everything in moderation. And what's important is that, you know, when you're eating, your frame of mind, whether you're in a negative mood or a positive mood, that makes a big difference. When you eat your food, and right now, all of you are listening, you will know when you're happy and when you're in a positive mood, you enjoy your food much more than you would if you're in a lousy mood or in an angry mood or, you know, you don't have any company around you. So I think it's important that if you're in an angry mood or if you're in a lousy mood, don't eat. You know, wait until a while after you have settled down, and then you enjoy your food because you're eating for survival and you're eating for your health. You don't want to just shove the food down your mouth. You want to savor it. You want to enjoy it. And so I think it's very important the attitude that you have when you're eating. You know, avoid watching television when you're eating. You know, make sure that if your loved ones are there, enjoy the food with them. If you're alone, that's fine, but get into a happy mood and enjoy. You know, savor the food. Try this exercise at the dinner table. You know, put a little bit of a bite of food in your mouth, then put your fork down. Chew slowly. Swallow and take a deep breath, and then sort of wait and see. Take a gulp of water. Enjoy your food. And this way, you would not take excessive amount of calories either. So I think this is very, very important. Now, all of this, what I have said today, I think all of you know. You know, when you see food on your plate, you know what is healthy and what is not. It does not take a genius. So avoid all the red meat, avoid all the fried stuffs. You want to eat some wholesome, healthy diet, include white meat, chicken, you want to fish, vegetables, cereals, legumes, all of those. You know, make a conscious effort. You know, in the morning when you wake up or the day before, you know, plan out your meals and say, what are you going to eat? And that way you have a better control over what you're going to eat when you get hungry, or prepare your food and keep it ready so that when you're hungry, that's what you're going to reach out for. And not reaching out for all the candies and all the fried stuff that you might have, you know, the tortillas or whatever you have, the snacks, you're not going to reach out for that to curb your hunger. So it's very, very important to focus on what you're going to eat, how you're going to eat it, what frame of mind you want to be in, because all of that is very, very important. So in summary, you know, diet is very important in MS patients. You want to, one, include vitamin D in your diet. You want to include omega-3 and omega-6, which is flaxseed oil or fish oil or primrose oil in your diet. You want to make sure that you include also nutrition that Dr. Terry Wall recommends. And these are basically vegetables, fruits, nuts, and also some supplements like coenzyme Q10 and creatine. You also want to include a lot of fluids and water in your diet, because that will help with your bladder, will also help with your bowels, and also help with the fatigue issue, because dehydration is the commonest cause of fatigue in MS patients. And lastly, you know, as I said, you know, life is short. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy what you do. Enjoy what food you like. You don't have to avoid. You know, if you go to a birthday party and if they have a cake, you know, take a little bit of it. Don't say, no, I'm on a strict diet. I cannot have it, unless, of course, you're gluten sensitive. Just enjoy a little bit of it. Have fun. So that's what I have to share with you today. And Matthew, I'm ready to take some questions if you have any.
Matthew? Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question over the phone, please press the number one key on your telephone keypad. Again, if you'd like to ask a question over the phone, please press the number one key. Our first question comes from Karen. Go ahead.
Hi, I was wondering if you could repeat spell your name for me and the name of your book again. I didn't catch that. It's coming out in October.
Oh, thank you. It's called Healing the Soul. And it will be out in October. It will be available on Amazon as well as the bookstores. It's called Healing the Soul.
Our next question comes from Mary. Go ahead.
I was wondering if there was any differences between relapsing remitting MS and secondary progressive MS as far as the nutrition things that you had mentioned.
Sure. So those of you who are listening, as you know, 85% of the MS patients present as relapsing remitting. And of these 85, if, you know, they do not receive adequate or proper treatment, some of them may become secondary progressive, which is a progressive course. On top of that, they have some relapses. But it's basically the same disease. We do know that vitamin D will play an important role. And I think more and more studies are coming out focusing on the role of vitamin D in multiple sclerosis, irrespective of what stage they're in. So I think it's very, very important. The other thing is the nutrition that we talked about, omega-3, omega-6, the flaxseed oil, fish oil, primrose oils, all of these are very important for MS, irrespective of what classification you belong to. Very important. Now, fluid intake, again, very important. You know, water intake, it's more so in patients with secondary progressive who become very sedentary. And again, for sedentary patients, vitamin D is also very important because they can develop osteoporosis. So I think the same principle applies whether you have relapsing remitting or secondary progressive. All of the guidelines that I discussed today will hold true for both of them.
Our next question comes from Heather. Go ahead.
Hello. I wonder if you consider sugar or dairy to be inflammatory in patients with MS?
You know, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that, yes, sugar and dairy can be inflammatory. And I think, again, any kind of sugars I would recommend avoiding, just eating more fruits, juices, honey, agave, all of that is good. But you can avoid sugar if you can. That would be good for you. But again, I think if you take non-fat dairy, cheeses, milk, cottage cheese, I think that's a good source of protein. And you can get other nutrition from that as well. So certainly it would be good to focus on that. But again, some people, their body would react differently to dairy for various reasons. And if you find that, yes, dairy does not suit you well, even if you have no lactose intolerance or have lactose intolerance, irrespective of that, if you feel that it's causing more problems, then by all means avoid it. And I think that's true with any kind of foods. If you recognize that a particular food does not go well with you, if you are able to pinpoint that, my advice is just to avoid it and not take it, because it could be inflammatory for one, but may not necessarily be inflammatory for the other.
Our next question comes from Joanne. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I didn't catch what he said about how many ounces of liquid you would need per kilogram of weight or 10 kilograms of weight.
So usually the rule of thumb is that for every 10 kilos of your body weight, you would drink a large glass of water. And what do I consider a large glass of water? Maybe about 12 ounces of water. And then again, give and take. But if you're very active, it's a hot summer day, you're going to drink more. But that's like if you are at home and not doing more exercises, just a regular, not into big-time athletics, because then your water intake will go up. So for just an average person, for every 10 kilos of your body weight, you're going to drink approximately about 12 ounces of water a day.
Our next question comes from Chris. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. The last question to give me the kilos per the glass of water was just answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Rochelle. Go ahead.
Hi. I have actually two questions. My first question is, can someone who's vegetarian or even on a vegan diet, can that be beneficial with MS? And my second question is, are there any types of specific nuts that are more beneficial than others, such as peanuts versus walnuts?
Okay. So I think vegetarian and vegan diets, it's a little bit difficult to follow. Now, I'm a vegetarian. I'm sort of almost vegan. I've been vegan almost all my life. It is difficult for those who are not used to this kind of diet to take on. I would seriously recommend working with a registered dietitian if you want to switch your diet to being vegetarian or vegan, because we do know that B12 deficiency is not uncommon in vegetarians and vegans. So you need to supplement. So there are a lot of things you need to be focusing on. Now, your question, Rochelle, is that is vegetarian or vegan diet good for MS? I don't think there have been any studies done. But we do know that eating a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables, nuts, all of that is part of the paleo diet that Dr. Terry Wall talks about. And so it is important to focus on that because that should be an important part of your diet. But not necessarily that it is better than some other diets, which is also a healthy diet, like the Swings diet, for example. As far as the nuts, peanuts, they probably consider not as nuts, but I think if I had to choose from the nuts, I would say cashew nuts, almonds, Brazil nuts, all of those are very good. They're rich in protein. They're rich in polyunsaturated fatty acids. Almonds, there are some studies done to show that it may be good for your memory as well. So I think any kind of nuts, I would agree with you, Rochelle, is very, very good. I'm not too sure about the peanuts as much, but definitely with some of the nuts that I just mentioned.
Our next question comes from Peggy. Go ahead.
Well, you've answered a couple of my questions, but I really just want to thank you for sharing because this was so easy to understand. I appreciate your time that you've dedicated to it. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Peggy. I appreciate that.
Our next question comes from Donna. Go ahead.
Hello, doctor. I wanted to ask about vitamin A. How is that beneficial for us?
You know, vitamin A has not been studied that much in MS as such. But as you know, all of these vitamins, they're important for you. And what I tell my patients is that if you take a Centrum Silver or any other good multivitamin one a day, you'll get all your requirements. That's what I would recommend. And that goes with some of the minerals as well. So if you pick up like Centrum Silver A to Z, for example, that would give you enough of the vitamins and the minerals necessary. And that's what I would recommend. I do not think that you want to take extra vitamin A as such because I don't think that there's been any studies shown to implicate that excessive vitamin A intake would help the MS.
Our next question comes from Denise. Go ahead. Denise, your line is live. Our next question comes from Stephen. Go ahead.
Hi, Stephen. Thank you, doctor. I just want to thank you for your time here. I had my questions answered in a couple other calls, but thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Stephen.
Our next question comes from Luann. Go ahead. Luann, your line is live.
Yes. The first question has been answered. It was about the water intake. But I do have a question about this. Is it a Swank's diet? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
S-W-A-N-K-S?
S-W-A-N-K.
A-N-K. Okay. All right. And what does that entail?
Well, you know, this Dr. Roy Swank, he passed away just a few years ago. He was in his late 90s. And about more than 60 years ago, Professor Swank advocated that consuming polyunsaturated fatty acids and avoiding animal fats has a profound effect on the progression of MS, and it could be therapeutic as well. And so that's what he recommended. So he devoted his entire life in focusing the diet, the appropriate diet for MS patients. And you can get a book. It's available. You can go through Amazon, and it's called Roy Swink's MS Diet. He sort of introduced the low-fat diet in MS in 1948. And there's been a lot of work done. As I indicated, he has published quite a bit in a prestigious journal called The Lancet. And I think there's a lot to be said about it because now we know with some of the immunological studies that we do that polyunsaturated fatty acids like omega-3, omega-6 will indeed improve the function of the white cells that promote healing in MS patients. So it's very, very helpful. And that's basically sort of the basis of his diet, is to reduce dramatically the saturated fatty acids that you get from animal meat and milk and other dairy, and increasing the polyunsaturated fatty acids that you get from fish, from avocados, from primrose oil, things like that.
Our next question comes from Lydia. Go ahead.
Oh, Dr. Khatri, thank you so much for the information. I wanted to clarify something. Did you say that MS can be genetic, or it is genetic?
Yes. So we really do not know what causes MS. It could be multifactorial. We do know that, for example, MS is very common within the temperate zones. As you move towards the equator, we see less and less. Why is that? We don't know. Is it something to do with the vitamin D? Is it something to do with the sunlight? We don't know. We also know that, you know, the incidence of MS is high in certain areas of the world. We also know that the incidence of MS in this country, in the United States, is 1 in 750. But if a sibling or a parent has MS, then the incidence goes up to 1 in 40. So there is a genetic predisposition. It's not genetic in the sense that you automatically pass on the MS to your offspring. But what that tells us is that if you have certain genetic makeup, and there's a lot of genetic studies going on in MS, so if you have certain genes, it will predispose you. And if in the right environment, if you have low vitamin D, for example, some other factors could be infective. So there has to be a lot of other factors present in the setting of the genetic makeup that would lead to MS. So yes, you're right, absolutely right, Lydia. There is a genetic component, but it's not that you automatically pass on the MS to your offspring. You pass on the genes, and if there's some other factors that are present, then they can develop MS.
Our next question comes from Bob. Go ahead. Bob, your line is live. Our next question comes from Jeanette. Go ahead.
What do you think of the latest things like probiotics and different supplements? They have this thing called Calm, where it's like magnesium and calcium drink to calm the nerves?
Sure. So, you know, one of the things I tell my patients, they come to the clinic sometimes, they have clippings, newspaper clippings, some journal clippings that the relatives or the friends or the neighbors have sent to them. Of course, you know, they have good intentions. And they say, you know, you follow this diet, because so-and-so did this and the MS went away. Or they did this and they felt better. They did this and the disability went away. I think it's important to recognize that for a disease that has no cure, you're going to hear a lot of cures. So there's a lot of supplements in the market that sort of advertise that this is, if you take this, if you have MS, if you take this, you're going to get better. I think an important thing is to discuss it with your physician because they can be very expensive. You can just as well get the same nutrition by eating fresh, healthy vegetables, fruits, and they'll give you more fiber. It'll help with your bowels. So you can get the same benefits from doing that rather than spending a lot of money on your supplements. I mean, I have seen patients who come to the clinic sometimes and they have a whole bag full of supplements. I'm not kidding. They take about 100 different tablets a day. So they can be very expensive. So I think the important thing is to kind of simplify your diet. Make sure that you take a lot of vegetables, a lot of fruits. You're drinking a lot of water. You're drinking your fish oil or your flaxseed oil. You're taking some supplements like Dr. Terry Wall is recommending. I think all of that is important, but you don't need to really go into this specific, the drinks that they advertise, because they can be expensive, and you can get the same benefit by using fresh foods. Now, probiotics is important. Again, probiotics is found in a lot of things. The commonest food and the best source is the sauerkraut. It's a very good source of probiotic, or yogurt, a low-fat yogurt that has good probiotics in it. I think probiotics is very good. It's very healthy, healthy for your gut. Especially if you have urinary tract infections and you take antibiotics, then I think healthy dose of probiotics is very, very important, because the antibiotics will destroy some of the probiotics, the bacteria that produce that. So supplementing it is very good.
Our next question comes from Nikki. Go ahead. Nikki, your line is live. Our next question comes from Darlene. Go ahead.
Yes. You mentioned creatine and that it could be purchased over the counter. And I'm wondering if I understood that right. And what is it and what is the benefit?
So creatine is something that a lot of athletes take. For example, as a pre-workout, they will take creatine and it builds up the stamina of the muscles. I'm not quite sure, and you may have to check it out or Google it, but creatine is something that will help with the muscle endurance and workout and exercise. But creatine is available at the sports stores where they sell nutrition or GNC, and there are different kinds of creatine that you can get. But I would advise maybe if you wanted to try it out, talk to your doctor, make sure that you're consulted, but you can take about a teaspoonful of creatine a day and see how that works for you. Creatine is spelled C-R-E-A-T-I-N-E, it's sort of it's a nitrogenous organic acid that occurs naturally in animals as well, and it helps to supply energy to all the cells in the body, especially the primary, the muscles. It's something that you may want to try on a trial on a short-term basis. Do an experiment yourself for about a month and see if that works. You can get that over-the-counter from GNC or any other health food stores.
Matthew, I think we have time for about two more questions.
Okay, our next question comes from Marilis. Go ahead.
Yes, you talked a great deal about liquids and having liquids in your diet. Does that include only water, or are you talking coffee, tea, juice? What are you talking about?
Oh, sure. That's a good question. So coffee does not count because, you know, coffee can be diuretic and get rid of the water from your body. So coffee doesn't count. In fact, if you drink coffee, you need to drink more water. But fruit juice will count. If you're drinking soup, yeah, you know, that's a good source of liquid as well. And if you, what I'm saying is that as an average person, if you're going to eat your healthy diet, soup, your usual foods, whatever you're going to drink, a cup of, you know, non-caffeinated drink, in addition to that, you should really drink at least 6 to 8 ounces if you weigh about 180 pounds. You need to drink a lot of fluid. So basically, it does not substitute the soup, for example. If you have a cup of soup, doesn't really substitute the water that you're going to take.
And our final question comes from Norma. Go ahead.
Yes, you mentioned coenzyme Q10, I believe. What is
yes, it? Yes. So, what is your question?
What is the coenzyme Q10?
Oh, you know, coenzyme Q10 is very essential for the functioning of the mitochondria. Now, mitochondria is sort of the powerhouse of your cells, if you will. And so the coenzyme Q10, it helps with that. Now, it's sort of it's a substance that's found throughout the body, in the muscles, it's found in the organs, and it has been used in a lot of conditions. For example, where you have degenerative disease or you have muscle problems, it is sort of similar to vitamin. It's not a vitamin, but it is found in the cell body. And you can take this from outside, and it's available at the health food store, at the GNC. It's sort of a food that helps with the cell growth and maintenance of the cell function. It's also an antioxidant. It protects the body from damage caused by harmful molecules, things like that. And it also helps to with the functioning of the muscles. It sort of helps with the powerhouse, and that's what Dr. Terry Wall kind of focused on, that you need to make your mitochondria, which is the powerhouse of the cells, healthy. And one of the ways to do that is by taking coenzyme Q10.
Well, I just want to thank you, Dr. Khatri, for the information that you presented to all of our callers tonight on nutrition, practical nutrition tips for people with MS. I think it was incredibly informative and very easy to understand. So I do appreciate you taking the time this evening to provide us that information. At this time, please take the time to respond to our program survey online included in your program reminder email, or please do contact your local chapter for a link to those surveys. If you have any other questions, you can always contact a chapter representative by calling 1-800-344-4867. At this time, all participants are invited to remain on the line and give their responses to 3 short survey questions. I hope you all enjoyed a pleasant evening and discussion tonight by Dr. Khatri. Again, thank you, Dr. Khatri, for taking time out of your evening to present this information to us. I hope you all have a wonderful night, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Fiza.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, now we will conduct our NMSS Gateway polling questions. Our first polling question is, 1. I learned something new that I will use in my everyday life. Please press 1 for yes and 2 for no. Thank you. Polling has now closed for this question. One moment while I tell the results and prepare the next question. Our second polling question is, the content was presented clearly and in an unbiased way. Please press 1 for yes and 2 for no. Thank you. Polling has now closed for this question. One moment while I tell the results and prepare the final question. And our final polling question is, the speaker was knowledgeable about the topic. Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. Thank you. Polling is now closed for this question. You may all disconnect.